It is Friday, June 14th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas. The Artisphere Festival Orchestra, featuring more than 80 musicians from around the world, returns to Northwest Arkansas for 12 classical music events this month. The concerts will take place at Walton Arts Center, including an evening of Beethoven, June 21st, and Russian masterpieces, June 28th. Tickets and a full lineup available at 443-5600 or waltonartscenter.org. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, we head to Summers, Arkansas to spend some time with the Washington County Farm Family of the Year. Plus, before they perform across the street at the Fayetteville Public Library on Sunday, East of Zion performs inside our studio. Plus, our weekly conversation with Michael Tilley from the City Wire and more.
But first, state and federal prosecutors yesterday announced they are seeking civil penalties from ExxonMobil's pipeline company for the rupture of a pipeline in Mayflower. Attorney General Dustin McDaniel says the incident in March was a violation of environmental laws.
The oil spill disrupted lives. This oil spill harmed the environment. And this oil spill was in violation of both state and federal law. Therefore, on behalf of the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality, and the people of the state, today the state of Arkansas filed a lawsuit against ExxonMobil in United States District Court for violations of the Arkansas Water and Air Pollution Control Act and the Arkansas Hazardous Waste Management Act.
McDaniel, along with U.S. Attorney Christopher Thayer, would not speculate on a total amount of penalties being sought, saying that's still open because the investigation continues. They also allege the company illegally stored waste from the cleanup. But one official in Mayflower feels the response by ExxonMobil has exceeded his expectations. John Gray, superintendent of the Mayflower School District, believes some people have been hypercritical of the oil giant.
From my perspective, Exxon has received a lot of negative press. In fact, the school started to receive negative attention because Exxon's supporting the school. They made some donations to the school. But the only thing I can say is that everything we had to do with Exxon was positive, friendly, and they were very supportive. I was very glad that Exxon was here and they responded in the way they did because they went above and beyond what I thought they needed to do.
Gray says before the accident, he thought the pipeline running through Mayflower was a gas pipeline, not an oil pipeline. Right after the spill, the local elementary school had to send children home after they became ill breathing the fumes.
Arkansas education officials are putting a plan in action to award associate's degrees to people who transferred to a university from a two-year college and have amassed enough credits for a diploma. Shane Broadway, the interim director of the State Department of Education, says statistics show nearly half of Arkansas students who transfer from a two-year school to a university don't get their bachelor's degree.
So that student, at least for the hours that they have put in, would be awarded an associate's degree, because sometimes, and many times we find, for a lot of different reasons, students have to drop out or stop out, as we call it, for financial reasons, family reasons, whatever it may be, and enter into the workforce.
Broadway says students will be able to better market themselves in the workforce with some type of degree. Education officials say they'll use a grant to put in place a system in which the state's community colleges and universities can blend student information.
As temperatures rise, so do utility bills. Entergy Arkansas says it has several options for customers wanting to avoid a spike in electric use and bills. Spokeswoman Sally Graham says users can sign up for levelized billing.
We do see the temperature is ticking up, which that is part of living in the South during the summer. We do have options that customers can choose in the way their bill is configured, which would be our level billing solution, which basically averages out their energy usage throughout the year, and they will then have a level bill rather than having a higher bill during the summer months.
Graham says that in addition to levelized billing, both residential and commercial customers should also consider measures to conserve power, because demand for power is increasing statewide.
Immigration reform is on the minds of many, both nationally and locally, including those at El Zocalo Immigrant Resource Center. This week marks the opening of its summer office on the grounds of St. Edward's Catholic Church in downtown Little Rock. The office will serve as a base where volunteers assist individuals and families, many undocumented, to find medical care, legal advice, and solve personal issues at no cost. Sarah Mullally is director of El Zocolo.
We're just friendly and volunteers. It's not really like a bureaucratic office or anything that a normal organization would be like. It's more just friends helping each other. So people are really encouraged by the work that we do.
The organization also is trying to convince Arkansas's congressional delegation to support the immigration reform bill under consideration now in the U.S. Senate. Meanwhile, at UALR yesterday, survey numbers were released showing a large majority of Arkansans support a, quote, tough but fair path to citizenship, and, end quote, and are more likely to vote for an elected official who supports such an approach.
A new children's museum to be built in Northwest Arkansas was officially announced yesterday. The Amazium will be built in Bentonville near the entrance to Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art on Northeast J Street. The so-called Interactive and Discovery Center has been in the planning stages since 2006, and a major fundraising effort began 2 years later. Since then, the nonprofit organization behind the museum has raised $20 million for the endeavor, half of which came from a one-to-one matching grant from the Walton Family Foundation. Much of the funds to match the grant came from Lee Scott, the former CEO of Walmart, the Hershey Company, General Mills, Nickelodeon, the Walmart Foundation, and others. The museum will reportedly include 44,500 square feet of indoor space, roughly an acre of outdoor space, and hands-on exhibits, experiments, and activities.
Some sad news out of the University of Arkansas today. George Denny, a professor of educational statistics and research methods at the U of A, passed away yesterday while working in the graduate education building. Denny, who was 55, joined the faculty of the College of Education and Health Professions in 1991. He earned a doctorate in educational psychology from Michigan State University in 1990. In May, Denny received the college's STAR, the Service Teaching Advising Research Award, given to the outstanding all-around faculty member. Funeral arrangements have not been finalized.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals went 2-for-2 last night at home against the Springfield Cardinals. The Nats won the first in the doubleheader 8-1, but the second win was by a closer margin of 3-2. After the pair of wins, the Naturals' record on the season is 22-43. The series against Springfield continues tonight at Arvest Ballpark.
Tonight's weather forecast calls for mostly clear conditions with lows from 65 in northwest Arkansas to 71 in the Arkansas River Valley. Mostly sunny tomorrow with a slight chance of showers and highs around 90 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and lows from 66 degrees in northwest Arkansas to 71 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now on the phone is Michael Tilley, the editor and publisher of The City Wire, which covers business, politics, culture, and much more for the entire KUAF listening area. Hello.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
So far, so good.
Excellent. Happy to hear it. And so far, so good with good news in Fort Smith. I hear more jobs on the way, so I feel like we're on a streak of good news here.
Yes, for a change. it's rare we get to talk about new job announcements and investments in the Fort Smith area. But since March, we've had six, what I would call significant announcements. And the most recent is Answer Fort Smith. And they put out a press release this morning saying that they've expanded and added about 90 jobs, or will add about 90 jobs over the next 3 years. They have about 60 now. And they'll be up to around 150. It's a call center operation. I've invested about $1.7 million in the facility there in Fort Smith. And so you add that up, we've had the HMA announcement back in April of 500 jobs. So you add to this the HMA jobs, which are 500, which will be added in the next few months.
Phoenix Metals without about 40 jobs at Chaffee Crossing. Gerber is in the middle of about $150 million expansion, which could add 90 jobs in the next couple of years. So, you know, there's several good announcements in the area. And Fort Smith's going to need them because the jobless numbers have been poor. The workforce has seen a decline in numbers. So Fort Smith, of the four major metro areas in Arkansas, Fort Smith has been hit the hardest. And their jobless picture hasn't improved as much as the other metro areas. So Fort Smith can use all of these jobs it can get. And, you know, hopefully the estimates of the jobs coming in will they'll hit those and even add more.
If there's more jobs being added and more people being able to fill them, will that be attractive to maybe other businesses that are looking for a place to locate?
Well, it doesn't hurt. What it does is, you know, it for other business owners or other site location consultants, when they see these announcements stack up, it gives them some confidence that, okay, maybe there's, if all of these other businesses see an advantage of, to expand here, then maybe there's something to it. So from that aspect, it doesn't hurt at all.
Something else that's a story you guys have posted on the City Wire this week, Superior Industries here in Northwest Arkansas has some plans.
Yes. The auto industry, you know, which really took a beating 2007, 8, 9, I mean, it was tough for the auto industry. Well, it's been recovering. They've had about 2 years now of consistent sales. And fortunately for Northwest Arkansas, Superior Industries has two plants, one in Fayetteville and one in Rogers, and they make wheels for the auto sector. So they have really been tooling up, and they're going to have to retool one of the plants. They can't even keep up with demand. So they're going to retool one of the plants, and that gives it some capacity to add more orders later. So that's also great news for Northwest Arkansas in terms of secure employment. And Superior also announced it's going to build another facility in Mexico, but retool its facilities here in Northwest Arkansas. So for a company that employs 1,400 in the area, that's good news.
Absolutely. Now, Superior has been here for as long as I can remember. Is it solely based here in Northwest Arkansas?
No, it's a California-based company.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's something else to look forward to. So lots of good news for jobs here. Very happy about this.
Yeah, it's nice. I know some people think us folks in the media only like to report on bad news, but that's nice to have that kind of news every once in a while.
Well, some other improvement that I've heard about this week, the employment trends at XNA and then the Fort Smith Airport as well.
Right. The trends are improving. Now, the employments are still down year-to-date at the Fort Smith Airport, but they're up a little over 3% at XNA, which is a good number. And frankly, it's somewhat surprising because in the airline industry, employments are flat or down in some cases. You know, the airlines have cut capacity, which is they've cut the number of planes in the air. They're reducing some of the hub traffic. So for XNA to be up, that's a good sign. And it's just, you know, it's a continued sign of the business, of strong business travel out of XNA. So can't go wrong with that. And I think XNA probably, if they continue the way they are, they'll have another positive year. It'll be a couple of good consecutive positive years strung together, possibly even three consecutive years.
And I know something they've been looking at XNA is looking for more bargain carriers.
Right, discount carrier, and they're still working on that, and that would help them. One of the disadvantages at XNA is their airfares are a little bit higher than other airports because of business travel. But they'd love to get another discount carrier in there.
So is it an advantage for the? Are these numbers a good thing that they can take to them and say that, you know, we have a lot of people traveling, so this would be a good reason why you should come to our airport?
Well, yes, but you know there'll be other dynamics that'll come into play because the other airlines at XNA aren't going to be happy about competing against a low cost carrier. So. I guess I said all that to say it's not that simple, but having increased numbers definitely helps make their argument.
Excellent. If people want to read more about those numbers, they can go to thecitywire.com, and this is part of the a component of the Compass Report.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, as always, Michael, thank you so much for calling in, and I hope you enjoy your day. And it's a little warm out there, so try and stay cool.
We will. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire, which covers business news and much more for the entire KUAF listening area. Thanks again, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
On the next Radiolab, a harrowing encounter with a humpback whale.
I was 18 inches away from her eye, and she just looked at me and let me touch her.
It really was a very emotional feeling. I felt this whale,
this 50-ton mammal, was literally
thanking us,
saying thanks.
What can we really know about what happens in an animal's mind? That's the next Radiolab.
Radiolab, tomorrow at noon here on KUAF 91.3 FM.
Over 25,000 11-day-old broiler chickens scurry from the recently opened door of a chicken house. The house is one of six that belong to the Yang family of Summers, Arkansas. Earlier this week, the Yangs were named the Washington County Farm Family of the Year. They supply broiler chickens to Simmons. Both born in Vietnam, David and Cindy Yang married in Minnesota and moved to Arkansas in 2004 in order to provide more of a family life for their four children. At the time, the kids were 12, 11, 8, and 5. And David was often working 14 to 16-hour days at General Mills.
The reason we moved out here, because I want my kid to, I have very high hope when I come to USA. Yeah. I have very high hope that one day my kid can be like have higher education, like go to college, become master or doctor, something like that. So that's the reason I moved out here, so I can be close to my kid, and so I can make sure they go to school every day, and make sure they study, and make sure they do everything else. So that's the reason why we moved out here.
So far, so good. The Yang's two daughters are both in college, and sons both in high school. Cindy was inspired to move south and become a farmer after a visit to her brother's chicken farm in 2003. She decided she could put up with the smell of the chicken house for the sake of her family. She was in IT for the U.S. Postal Service, struggling to find babysitters and taking care of them the way that she wanted to.
I thought maybe farming would get me in the house where I can be with my kids and take care of them, making sure they're safe and sound from school to, you know, home and everything. So when I put my kids to the line, then I'm like, okay, this has to be the place that I will have to, you know, go, because I can raise my family better that way if I start farming. So
they bought these 50 acres in Summers, Arkansas, western Washington County, and built six chicken houses to begin nursing freshly hatched chicks to market ready in 42 days. She says that first year was a challenge. Coming from working day jobs to chicken farming, there was quite the learning curve. But a typical day has now become routine.
Average day, I get up in the morning, early in the morning, check on the chicken house, pick up dead, check, make sure that they have water and feed, make sure the temperature is right, checking my computer system, make sure that everything's working well, and basically make sure that my birds are comfortable.
As the kids grew up, they began to share the responsibilities of living on a farm. The Yangs eventually got a few head of cattle in addition to the chickens, but they're more for keeping the pastures from getting overgrown. Pao Yang is their 14, almost 15-year-old son. He agrees with his mom that everyone chips in.
It's shared. It's everything from mowing the lawn to picking up dead chickens to checking the chicken houses, taking care of the dogs, the cattle. It's everything. If they say it, then I do it.
He says his life on a farm is different from the one that they used to have. The biggest difference being the darkness at night compared to the city lights. He says farm life has its ups and downs, but his parents have clearly instilled that strong sense of family in young Pao.
It's like, as long as like we're close to them, we're always like as a family, and I think I like that better as staying in a big city, because whenever we're in a big city, I like never really got to see my parents. I've always only see my grandparents, and moving down here has been a big change.
I asked Pao what he will take away from farm life as he continues to grow, eventually moving on to college like his sisters.
My dad always said that nothing ever comes easy in life, and that's true, because if you work hard enough to it and put your mind to it, you can succeed to anything. That's what he always said.
And succeed they have. David and Cindy were both born in Laos and are Hmong Vietnamese. The Yang family are actually part of a large group of Hmong farmers that moved to the Ozarks to become chicken farmers in the early 2000s. Though the Yangs are the first minority farm family to be recognized in Washington County, and the first Hmong to be honored in Arkansas. Bernie Kurtz is a Washington County Extension agent and chair for the Washington County Farm Family of the Year Award that is coordinated by the Arkansas Farm Bureau Federation. He says picking a family is somewhat of a tradition, as this honor has been given annually since 1947. Kurtz says that for a farm to tick, every member of a family has to do their job. I think the Yangs prove that everyone pulls their weight.
As this family, all of them have their responsibility on the farm, and they do not have any outside employment. So it's truly a farm family network to get the job done on the farm. It's you know, keeping it within the family of the farming community.
Having children is not a requirement to be the farm family. Kurtz says the committee looks for farms that are doing unique things and practices that should be done, like those related to sustainability. This honor is a way to showcase those best practices to the farming community. He comments on the Yang family's strong work ethic.
You can't find a farm family that struggled early. They moved here from Minneapolis and knew nothing about farming. All they had was factory jobs, and they were looking to raise family elsewhere, out of a smaller community where they can know what the kids are up to, and they have done some really unique things here.
He says they came into Summers as outsiders, but did an excellent job of integrating themselves into the community.
They're just so vibrant. Folks know they're here. The kids are so much involved in the school. Everyone in the school knows who the Yang family is. They have just integrated themselves so well, networked so well into the community, and just doing a fantastic job in raising poultry.
That's Bernie Kurtz, Washington County Extension Agent. He's talking about David and Cindy Yang, their son Pao, 14, and three other children who are 20, 18, and 17 years old. The Yang family was named the 2013 Washington County Farm Family of the Year. They're now eligible to be named both the regional and the Arkansas Farm Family. This is Ozarks at Large.
It is Friday, June 14th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And joining us now on the phone is Becca Martin-Brown, Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
I apologize for not being there, but I've got to run out and buy a Father's Day present, and so do you. So, just in case you haven't done that yet, because part of my job is to keep you from messing up, here are some suggestions for dear old Dad this weekend.
Okay.
If Dad likes the blues, you can listen to it all weekend in Eureka Springs. It is Blues Weekend.
It is.
Events start tonight at 7 o'clock at the Eureka Springs City Auditorium. There's free music all day tomorrow at Basin Spring Park. And tomorrow night, J.P. Soares and the Red Hots play at the Basin Park Hotel at 10. Sunday, there's a Father's Day Blues Picnic from 1 to 6 at Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge.
That sounds like fun. And there'll be music and stuff there, too.
Exactly. So you can find out more at EurekaSpringsBlues.com. Okay. Like a little R&B? There's a big deal going on tonight in Bentonville. It's the Road to Essence Tour event preceding the festival in New Orleans, which I'll miss by a day or two.
Mm-hmm. It's in July.
R&B artists Maxwell and Estelle are the headliners. They'll be joined by the Arkansas Gospel Mass Choir, Hezekiah Walker, and Trey Songs. This starts at 6, but if you're hearing this in the evening, mm-hmm. you've still got time to go. It's at Orchards Park in Bentonville, and it's free.
Mm-hmm. It's sponsored by Walmart, who is a sponsor of the Essence Festival. And these series of concerts, as I understand it, are just kind of a way to get people excited about the Essence Festival in New Orleans.
If Dad's into theater.
Okay.
This weekend is the Arkansas New Play Festival.
Very excited about this.
You know, I don't know much about this show, but the first show tonight at 6:30 is called Don Chipotle.
I am intrigued.
By Juan Francisco Villa. followed by Raw Vision by Les Wade. It's set in Louisiana. Oh. Of course, I like it at 8:30. Tomorrow night at 6:30, If I Did This by E.M. Lewis. And at 8:30, Swimming with Van Gogh by Susan Felder. They're all at the Nadine Baum Studios in Fayetteville. It's $7 per show, $10 for the 24-hour playoff at 6:30 on Sunday.
And that's where you get to go watch groups of, I think, teams of five, and they're given 24 hours to write, produce, and then act out a 10-minute play.
Did you do this 1 year?
I did it last year.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun.
I'd love to do it. And if you love all of that, it's $30 for a pass for the whole weekend at 443-5600. Does Dad like football?
A lot of dads do.
A lot of them do.
How about a play about football?
How about it?
Lombardi is on stage for the last weekend at Rogers Little Theater tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon with Ed McClure, longtime actor and director, as the iconic football coach. Tickets are $10 to $55, and that $55 includes a mountain of food because all dads love to eat.
Right. There's a Sunday brunch, I believe, too. Yeah.
631-8988 for tickets. Dad likes rock and roll. How about Huey Lewis in the news?
I feel like I've missed this announcement. I don't know why I haven't heard of this.
It is at Downstream Casino.
Oh, okay.
At 8 o'clock tonight.
You can take Dad gambling, too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Dad can win enough for the tickets.
There you go.
They start at $20. Not that bad. No. You can find out more at downstream.com. If Dad likes to fish, there's a Father's Day fishing derby on Sunday at War Eagle Mill.
Fishing tournament?
It's a derby.
Okay.
I think less competition and more fun.
Okay.
From 8:30 to 4, and of course there's food at War Eagle Mill too.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out more at 789-5343. If Dad is a Civil War buff,
my stepdad is.
You can check out collections of military paraphernalia, bullets and cannonballs, also kitchenware and ladies' accessories. Sunday at Heineman Hall Visitor Center at Prairie Grove Battlefield State Park. That's from 1 to 5 o'clock. And it is free. And we don't want to leave out the dads who like classical music.
Of course not.
The Dover Quartet is performing as part of Artist Fair, playing works by Brahms and Beethoven, 7 o'clock Sunday at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville, and 7 o'clock Monday at Thorn Crown Chapel in Eureka Springs, and it's $10.
So very affordable and a large variety of events to choose from depending on what Dad likes.
So go love that dad.
All right. Thank you so much, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
I've got just about everything I need to make this life I lead an enjoyable thing. I've got bluebirds and posies and robins and roses, all kinds of flowers that bloom, all kinds of birds that sing. I've got just about everything I'd want.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night, beginning at 10 p.m. And in the background, you hear vocalist, composer, and pianist Bob Doro. I will feature the music of Bob Doro on the show tonight in anticipation of the 15th annual KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series. Bob will be performing in concert at the opening event of the KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series on Saturday, July 13th, at Star Theater in the Walton Arts Center. I'll feature his music along with the music of other great artists like Ernesto Cervini, Miles Davis, Anat Cohen, and much more. That's this Friday at 10 p.m. on Shades of Jazz.
My one and only one, then I can say I've got everything I need. I've got just about everything it takes to set this scene and make it a marvelous bit.
A couple of notes about people being honored. Northwest Arkansas Community College will name a college building in honor of Dr. Becky Panites, retiring president of the institution. Rick Clifford, chairman of the college's Board of Trustees, read a proclamation at Panites' final board meeting stating the college building that contains learner support services and other student-focused offices will be named the Becky Panites Student Center. The Student Center was the first building project undertaken after Panites assumed the college's chief executive role in 2003. Panites is retiring June 30th after serving a decade as NWAC president. Other structures constructed during her tenure include what was Benton County's first multi-story parking garage, the Shoemaker Center for Global Business Development, and the Center for Health Professions. Recently, work has begun to transform the former Highlands Oncology building into the Melba Shoemaker Southern Region National Child Protection Training Center. That's a mouthful. During the board's May 13th meeting, the trustees granted Panite's status as President Emerita.
Earlier this week, there was a dedication ceremony for the naming of the District Court Courtroom, the Fayetteville District Judge Rudy Moore Courtroom. Moore honorably served with distinction as the Fayetteville Municipal Judge and then the Fayetteville District Court Judge for more than 22 years until his death on April 11th of this year. Judge Moore took an active part in the design and furnishing of the Fayetteville District Courtroom. The court's building was honored with LEED Gold certification through the U.S. Building Council. Speakers at the official naming ceremony included Mayor Lionel Jordan, City Attorney Kit Williams, City Prosecutor Casey Jones, and Circuit Judge William Story.
One final note, the River Valley Food Bank is responding to current crisis, the aftermath of a crisis 2 years ago, and conducting research to determine exactly how much hunger is in America. With volunteer help from Wingfoot, volunteers are putting emergency food boxes together for those directly affected by the declared flooding disaster in Scott County. Scott County Judge James Forbes is assisting in getting food to where it's needed now. The food they sort and box will be distributed next week. Ongoing food assistance to sustain families as they continue to recover is planned by the food bank. This coming Tuesday, the food bank will be in Ozark to conduct a USDA commodity distribution in conjunction with the Ozark Free Will Baptist Church. Approximately 200 families will receive federal and local food assistance, several of whom continue to struggle after being hit by the Etna and Denning tornado from a few years, 2 years ago. Next Wednesday, the St. John Sack Lunch Program will host the food bank as it gathers information about hunger in the area. The data will be compiled with the results from other food banks in the Feeding America Network to create the 2014 Hunger in America Study. This project is supported by a grant from the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. More information is available at rvrfoodbank.org. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas. Last week, the U.S. Attorney in Little Rock announced the first ever conviction by his office for sex trafficking, and he said there will likely be many more convictions in the future. As Maggie Carroll from our content partner KUAR in Little Rock reports, it happens much more than people realize.
This will be specific to the adults, because we'll have to have a double door here.
That's Louise Allison, founder and executive director of the local organization PATH, Partners Against Trafficking Humans. She's walking me through an old church in Little Rock that is being renovated and turned into a shelter for victims of sexual abuse crimes. They also have a shelter in North Little Rock. As Allison showed me around, she shared that she herself was forced into prostitution at the age of 14. 2 years ago, she founded PATH to work against pimps and traffickers and help girls and women in difficult situations.
I don't want the girls that are going through the nasty things that I went through to have to live 30 years of darkness, hiding behind the guilt and the shame of something that they didn't choose to do. And so here I am.
It's estimated that there are 27 million slaves living in the world today. Forced labor is one form of enslavement, but an increasing number of cases reported involve sex trafficking. It's federally defined as commercial sex acts that are induced through force, fraud, or coercion.
When we first started 2 years ago, every place I went to speak, people were shocked that human trafficking really took place in America, much less Little Rock, Arkansas.
Allison is quick to point out that those targeted are the most vulnerable of the population. Lisette Yang, a forensic interviewer at the Children's Protection Center, says oftentimes immigrant women agree to come to the U.S. in hopes of money and are tricked into paying off massive debts through sex.
They never see money. It's very rare. And if they do, it's really nothing. For a traffic victim, let's say if the pimp is getting $300 to $500 a night, maybe the traffic victim get maybe $10, $20 if they get that money. Because, like I said, it's an eternal debt. You owe me thousands of dollars because I brought you here or because I got you this job. And then you owe me for the food you're eating. So it's like a never-ending dead.
Yang says most people don't realize that sex trafficking is happening, or if they do, they are scared to report it.
Indifference is really the worst crime that we, as a society and as a community, we're doing, because it's not just about protecting myself, it's protecting our community, because you don't know if somebody that you know is going to be next.
Local organizations are working alongside national and international nonprofits to spread awareness and provide needed services to survivors. Truckers Against Trafficking is a nonprofit that trains truck drivers to look for and report signs of enslavement. They look for women who are not speaking or ushered in and out of vehicles. Executive Director Kendis Paris says calls and reports have increased in Arkansas and drivers are using what they've learned.
We find that encouraging that there's an increase of calls, so hopefully law enforcement is responding to these situations and traffickers will realize that Arkansas is not a friendly state, that this is not a place where you do this.
Last week, the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Arkansas, Christopher Thayer, announced that a Little Rock man, alleged to have been a pimp and a trafficker, was convicted in federal court on one count of sex trafficking. It was a first for his district.
It has been there for some period of time, and that the biggest reason that some of these cases are coming forward is awareness.
He says awareness is on the rise, but many people don't know that sex trafficking could be occurring in their area. Lisa Richardson is co-owner of the Sparrow's Nest, a nonprofit resale store in Little Rock. 20% of its proceeds go to the PATH organization, and she says the store is raising awareness in the community.
I would say 99% of the people that walk through the store had no clue until they came in the store. They think that it happens abroad, you know, especially in Asian countries, but they have no idea that it's right under their noses.
The nonprofits and law enforcement agencies emphasize the importance of prevention, awareness, and post-trauma to help potential victims and survivors of sex trafficking. Louise Allison, the director of PATH and herself a former victim, wants girls and women to remember their worth.
You're valuable. You're well-loved. Don't think that what's going on around you defines who you are.
In Little Rock, I'm Maggie Carroll.
This is Ozarks at Large. It's not uncommon for local musicians to use their talents in a variety of bands. For example, Nathan Miller, who some may know as the mandolin player for Cletus Scottshott, he also performs in another band that is comprised of his relatives. East of Zion features Nathan, as well as his aunt and uncle, Pat and Mac Foltz, and their cousin, Jerry Hogan. East of Zion will perform at the Fayetteville Public Library Sunday afternoon as part of the Mountain Street Stage June Music Series. Recently, the four band members stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio and explained how they came up with the name East of Zion.
East of Zion, Pat and Mac came up with that. It's because they live East of Zion, right?
East of Zion community.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of a play off of
the
book that was written about
our family.
Mac's mother, mm-hmm. aunt, and
my mom.
Singing in Zion. What is that about?
It's about the Gilbert's girls' family. They're out in the Mayfield, Goshen, Zion area. They lived all in there, just like we all have sometime. And back in the early 30s, they were quite popular around the area out there in the country, musicians, singers, and my mom played banjo.
Should back up a little bit. Most people don't actually know. The Zion community is a community that is on Old Wire Road. It's between Springdale and Fayetteville on the east side of town.
Yeah. And a lot of people know Zion Road.
It's a small
community.
Yeah.
Zion Road runs over to it eventually.
I was actually born out there.
Oh, okay. Remind me again how everybody's related here.
We are all family. I'm the youngest one, and this is aunt, uncle, and cousin.
Right. These are all my cousins.
Okay.
And we're actually related by our grandmothers. Well, yeah, my grandmother.
Right.
Uncle Mac's mother.
My aunt.
And his aunt. We're all the same person, one and the same.
This is her on the back of the book right there, Aunt Helen.
Okay.
Helen Gilbert Foltz.
So did you guys feel that you were destined to start a band? Did you feel like you had to, coming from a musical family?
I think it's just always been music in the family. It's mm-hmm. just kind of...
We all kind of fell together at some point.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's just do this as a band.
It was just normal. It was just something that we all had when we growing up. Mm-hmm. There was lots of music in the family and stuff, and so it's a...
Yeah, I don't think these guys had a chance because Pat comes from another musical family with tradition, the Clark family. Her dad's a really fine singer-songwriter.
Oh.
And so there's like these three guys had no chance. I'm a latecomer. Didn't have any chance.
Latecomer as in you just...
Yeah, playing music. Yeah.
How recent?
about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. And why did you decide to pick it up, or what did you start learning to play bass?
Yeah, I learned to play bass. The truth is, I wanted to learn how to play bass to play one song with my older brother, who's been a country musician for years, singer-songwriter. Mm-hmm. And then I loved it so much, I just kept going.
Yeah, he says that, but the truth is that we'd all sit around playing music, and he wasn't playing, so we would put him over in the corner, and we'd turn his chair so he had to look into the corner.
What was the one song?
I don't even know, just one of his. I just wanted to be able to do that. You know, I just wanted to do that.
When did you guys officially become a band?
Oh,
how
goodness.
Recent is this?
I looked it up on a calendar.
Did you?
Because I knew we were going to struggle with this one. 2008 is when we actually became East of Zion.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Well, Nathan, you were pretty busy with Cletus right about then. Nathan True. Is from yeah. Cletus Got Shot yeah. as well.
Oh, okay. He plays with them on the side.
Sure. Was there anything in particular that spurred you to officially make that group?
Weren't we just kind of playing around in the garage? And,
yes.
And just having so much fun with it. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you were wanting to play out more. I think you mm-hmm. got with Cletus already. And
got so the, we thought got we'd the bug just, for
yeah,
playing out.
And yeah. We thought it'd be fun.
Yeah, I remember when you guys Mac brought that up. It was in the garage.
Mac and Pat mm-hmm. Had a Rhythm Method, which was a blues band, 10 years ago? Would be about the middle of the time. But anyway, they had for quite a number of years,
sure.
I think it was 12 years or so, they had a blues band. I always was just like, when I finally got to play with them, I was, I'm not worthy, but they're going to
really
play
good
with them,
too.
So let's have a band.
It was a really good band, too.
Well, now, East of Zion, where do you guys typically play? I know Cletus Got Shot, I see you guys in bars often, but East of Zion, do you guys often hit the bars?
Oh, no.
No.
No, we're not a bar band.
We're usually in bed time by the time we start.
I know. Pat would do it, but I can't get Mac out. He's toes up by 8:30. He's like, no, I ain't leaving the house. Little punk, I've already done that.
Threw you under the bus, Mac.
But no, we play at actually Jam and Java several times a year.
Yep.
And
private things and festivals
benefits
and
Hazel Valley Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Used to play at Terra Studio some.
Okay.
And we're gonna play on the 16th of June over here
yes.
at the library.
Gonna be at the library for the
Mountain. What's it called?
Mountain Street Stage June Music Series.
There you go.
Now, how often do you guys get to play together? You mentioned a bunch of little things, but do you have any regular gigs or is Jam and Java?
The regular gigs we have is family night.
Okay. When is family night?
Well, the family gets together and plays music, and we have friends, and it's just a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, yeah. It's mostly, there's us and Uncle Larry, Mac's brother, and then my mom, Mac's older sister.
My dad.
Yeah, your dad shows up.
And whoever wants to pipe in.
Which is one of the most fun things. That's just like, that's the whole family. We're all getting together and just sitting
and just playing.
That's kind of where it all started.
Playing music. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That's where it all started. But as far as like playing out gigs, what would you say? Once every 2 months on average?
No, I think about once a month during the... I call us a warm weather band.
Well, yeah. Most bands are.
About once, at least once a month, I think.
Okay.
In the summertime.
Well, it just varies about Fayetteville.
Sure. For people that haven't been able to catch you yet, how would you describe your sound to them? Oh, kind of a mix of different things.
It's anything from Bill Monroe to Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Yeah.
And everything in between.
Mm-hmm. Americana, I think, fits a pretty good category.
Yeah, we'll be playing a song here, a couple songs here in a minute, so the folks out there can hear a little bit of it.
Perfect. So I love
throw a song against the wall and see if it sticks.
And boy, a lot of them do.
Well, how do you decide what songs you're going to play?
We try a lot of them, and the ones that we like, we play, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, like the ones we're going to do today, we've done from the beginning and still love it. Love both of them, mm-hmm. so.
I mean,
those are the ones that stick.
We all kind of bring songs in to the circle, and I don't know, for me personally, I'll just get on a kick with somebody, especially lots of times, it'd be, Ferlin Husky, or that's one of the ones I've been on recently, and even like Gene Autry, I went on a Gene Autry kick, but just get on a kick and kind of dig out a few of their less well-known songs and work them up and throw them in.
Why the less well-known ones?
Because everybody knows the other ones. You know, we do those. We can do those too. But
sure.
It's fun. It's fun to learn the less well known ones.
The B side. Mac and Nathan also write a lot of songs, and we're kind of slowly working those in.
Okay.
So you in have the last year, I think the two of them have just written a ton, but it takes a while to work that up.
So maybe an album at some point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're working on that right now.
Good.
CD, some originals.
Well, I don't know whether we're two-thirds of the way through or still a half, but
it's hard to tell. It's quite a process.
Yeah. Depending on what that last session
that last session, exactly. I'm waiting to hear the final say on the last session.
Now, have you guys been able, this is the first time you'll be performing in this series, and it's fairly new. Have you been able to catch any of the other sets over the last couple of years? Yes, you're nodding your head.
I have. I've seen Walter Savage, and I caught a little bit of the Adams Collins jazz trio the other day. That was really good.
Yeah? Did you do that?
Yeah, I love the jazz guys. I like to watch them. I have no idea what they're doing. That's why I like to watch them.
Have no idea what they're doing with their instruments?
But they're fun. Yeah, exactly. Especially the bass players. I go, I don't know what you're doing, but it's really good.
Do you guys have a set list at all for what you're going to be playing, or are you kind of going to make it up as you go?
Probably make it up as we go.
We usually do.
Is that not difficult to have a set list of songs?
Well, all our songs are 2 minutes or less, so we've got a lot of songs in 2 hours.
We have a very big book.
We have a book, and we just kind of flip through it, and a lot of times somebody will shake their head, no.
Usually Mac says no, I don't
usually
like
Usually Mac will refuse. It's his job.
All right, let's do that one.
I will let him preview it first, so we don't have so much of that this time.
We have a nice base of songs that we work out of.
About how many would you say that you have?
Well, I think it's about 80 to 100 is our base.
How do you keep that all in your head?
We have a book. Yeah. We cheat.
I've always wondered, I mean, having that many songs in your repertoire, how you can keep the notes the same or even the words amazing. When you're singing.
Well, a lot of them are committed to memory.
Yeah.
Sure.
Especially the playing part, that's kind of muscle memory stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Singing, I don't know. You just screw up. That's all there is to it.
That's why he picks the obscure songs. Nobody knows
the words, so they won't know if you've messed it up. That's a good plan. That's a good plan. I like that.
Yeah, when I drop the ball.
Well, you guys brought some instruments. You want to play something for me?
You bet.
Sure.
This song is Rabbit in a Log. Thank you.
next one is, well, actually, it's one that Mom and Grandma and all them used to do a lot. We still do it, and it's just an old traditional gospel song. Daniel Prayed.
Daniel Prayed.
That was Nathan Miller, Pat and Mac Fultz, and Jerry Hogan, the four members of East of Zion, inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. You can hear East of Zion perform at the Fayetteville Public Library Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 as part of the Mountain Street Stage June Music Series. The event is free and open to the public. For more information on the music series, visit faylib.org. For more information on the band, search East of Zion on Facebook.
The 63rd Annual Opera in the Ozarks runs June 21st through July 19th at Inspiration Point near Eureka Springs. This festival of fully produced operas is an educational program for singers pursuing a career in the world of opera. Sunday performances will be held at the Arendt Arts Center in Bentonville, June 30th, July 7th, and July 14th at 4 p.m. Tickets and more information available at opera.org.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Bentonville, Fort Smith, and Van Buren.
Don't get down there often enough. I don't.
No. It's a cute little town, too.
I know. Put that on my list of the many things I need to do.
Yeah. Yep.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Have a fantastic weekend.
Yes. Happy Friday.